Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Bully Ball Podcast and the Gold Standard Podcast Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrero, sitting in for Jason Aponte. She's Steph Sanchez. Steph, Kyle Shanahan has spoken from the league meetings.
He has risen. He is back, looking hungover again, as always, in the league meetings. You know what? Like, I don't even fault. Like, he's probably not even hungover. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. The man is just tired. I mean, these happen in Orlando. I see tweets coming in. Mind you, I'm in Mountain Time, and the tweets are coming in at 6 a.m. So for Pacific Coast people, that is like about 5:30 a.m. in the morning that they're having to go out there and speak to the media. So his body clock is still in California time. So if Coach is out there looking tired, I don't blame him one bit.
Hey, look, as an East Coast guy, I like the fact that stuff's happening nice and early for me. Okay. Like, yes, please. More of that. Shout out to Mike UA, new YouTube channel member. Appreciate that. If you want to become a YouTube channel member, it's less than $3 a month. Please consider it. You get custom emojis, membership badges, priority comment response, all that fun stuff. And as always, like and subscribe to the Gold Standard YouTube channel and to Steph Sanchez's YouTube channel. Just search 49 carats. It comes right up. Steph, there was a lot of stuff that happened because not only did Kyle Shanahan speak at the league meetings, they also passed some new rules for 2024, which we can get into. But first thing from Kyle, we got a little clarity on what exactly the role of Brandon Staley is going to be with this team. Kyle said he's basically going to help out on defense. He has no specific offensive responsibilities, and that Nick Sorensen is going to call the plays. Is this sort of how you expected it to shake out?
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, I don't think that necessarily means he won't be able to help Kyle Shanahan in any way. You know, I think there's flexibility there, especially because we still don't have a specific title other than assistant head coach that he's going to have. I think that gives him the flexibility to kind of be in on multiple things, but you know, the majority of it seems to be on defense, helping out Nick Sorensen with implementing, you know, the defense, the install and all that throughout the week for, you know, game planning. And then also, you know, Kyle Shanahan even spoke about how he's already kind of having a hand in their free agency, right? And in the draft. So he's having some say, I guess, and or just a voice in the room as far as who they're picking in free agency, which I think some of us had already kind of you know, expected to be true, because when you look at some of the guys they did pick up in free agency, it did kind of, you know, scream Brandon Staley, some of those guys having had prior experience with him. So yeah, I think that it's not exactly surprising, but it's definitely nice to get a little bit more clarity on what Brandon Staley's role is will be this season.
Kyle even went so far as to say basically like they knew that they were going to hire Nick Sorensen, that when they met with Brandon Staley, they basically told him, like, look, we want Sorensen to be the DC, but we want you to have a role with the staff. That's pretty interesting, because they went through a lot of interviews, and it sounds like they kind of knew from the get-go where they wanted to go.
Yeah, I mean, he did say they wanted to keep things internal. But at the same time, like, they did interview a lot of, or, you know, maybe not interviewed, but they did have their names connected to some other, you know, big name guys, like, you know, from the Chiefs, Spagnuolo, right? And mm-hmm. and Bill Belichick, which, you know, of course they had to look into those guys. So I think they had a great plan 1A, or sorry, 1B, I guess you can say, yep. Plan B, but it was a close second, right? In Nick Sorensen. And, you know, just the way that Kyle Shanahan spoke about him, it seemed like he has a lot of confidence in him. He spoke about how, hey, like, you know, he could have even been a great candidate last season, but we feel even better about him this year, and he's more than ready. So, yeah, I mean, it speaks to how strongly they feel about him. Gives me a lot of confidence in him. And, you know, also, it seems like for the players, it's going to be an easier transition, too, because they're used to Sorensen. Seems like they love Sorensen. And so, yeah, I'm excited for how this defense is going to look this season and beyond, as long as Sorensen is the defensive coordinator.
Weston Smith says they didn't wong it. I know you had some fun with...
Just joking about this right before we went live. Mm-hmm.
What is the past tense of wing it? Steph says it's wung it. I think it's winged it, but you know,
I think the Webster dictionary would tell you it is probably winged it, but I don't like that. It sounds too much like wingdig or something. Just like, it sounds like a made up word just as much as wung it. So you might as well go with the one that's funner to say, or more fun to say, which is wung it. So, you know, consider this my official submission to the Webster dictionary, wung it being the new past tense version of wing it.
Man, this really is a full service podcast. I'll say that. John Lynch, in talking about this whole Sorensen thing, has loved to point out, he's done it multiple times now, about how the wide nine wasn't originally part of our defense, but we evolved, we updated it, we incorporated it, and we're better for it. And he's talked about it, Shanahan has talked about how they want to use Brandon Staley to evolve the defense in some way. I have no idea what that way could be. Is it more three-man fronts? Is it, I don't know, a third safety on the field? I have no idea. I'm not qualified to make that guess. Do you have any ideas of whatever this next evolution that they're planning might be?
I mean, I don't really know, right? Like, I know some people have kind of speculated that, you know, maybe they have some type of hybrid scheme where they do have different fronts, you know, that maybe support 4-3 and 3-4. Because when you look at some of the guys they did add in free agency that have had experience with, you know, Brandon Staley in the past, They have experience as outside linebackers, you know, rushing from a two-point stance. And so that would be a new wrinkle for the 49ers, right? And, you know, maybe they kind of look into hybrid packages or things of that nature. I'm not really sure, but I'm definitely open to adding new wrinkles, right? I think to an extent, like what the 49ers have been doing, a lot of teams have grown accustomed to seeing it. And you know, I think there were some things that they're able to expose a little bit. Also, last season, it was pretty static, right? So I think, you know, this season, mixing it up a little bit and adding that element of surprise to your opponent. I think bringing that back and with Brandon Staley is going to be good.
Kyle Shanahan talked about the defensive line. He said they didn't have effort issues, that it was just a couple of bad plays that got amplified on social media. And then when he was asked what he likes about Leonard Floyd, he said he goes all day. It's like, okay, that's interesting. We'll put those two together. I hope the defense does evolve. I think they need to. I think it was a little too simple. I think it was too easy for opponents to see what was coming last year, especially when it came to the blitz. I felt like you could always tell, all right, here comes Steve Wilks. Zero blitz time. The Vikings certainly knew before the end of halftime or the end of the first half. I'll say that. So that's what's going on with the 49ers defense. Kyle didn't really add a ton. He said they're still looking to add at safety on that side of the ball. I would like to see a safety addition made just as sort of a hedge with Talanoa Hufanga coming back. Tashawn Gibson's a free agent. We don't know what's going to happen with him. So I think they need another body there. He specifically said when they had Julian Blackmon in that they didn't discuss him. Like, it wasn't like, hey, do you want to be our starter? It was, hey, do you want to join the team and compete for a spot? I thought that was interesting because I think the assumption for some people, I know for me, was that he's coming in to be the starter.
That was my assumption as well. And so that's why it was interesting. One, because, you know, even Julian Blackmon, you would think would be interested in only meeting with teams who, you know, are willing to bring you in as a starter. So maybe they didn't have those discussions until the visit. I don't know, but yeah, that was interesting because, you know, I do think they're coming close to a crossroads, right? A fork in the road, if you will, with Talanoa Hufanga, because he is coming off of that ACL tear, which isn't as catastrophic as it used to be to come back from. But, you know, you still got to hedge a little bit, as you said. And then also, he's a free agent after 2024. So they kind of have to start thinking about, do we want to keep him or not now, right? I mean, we already know that 2024 is after the season. It's going to come with a lot of changes, right? And so they got to make some decisions about some guys. Hufanga is going to be one of those. And so in my mind, them bringing in Julian Blackmon for a visit kind of made me think, you know, maybe they would be comfortable moving off of Hufanga after this season, right? And at the very least, you know, he's depth, he's an insurance policy in case Hufanga isn't the same guy. But, you know, now Kyle Shanahan's saying that Hufanga's expected to be back around training camp or by training camp. That's obviously a good sign. He's probably not going to miss any games. Now, we also have to remember that, you know, return to play doesn't always mean what's the saying? It's like
return to performance.
Yes. So I think that's important too, right? And so I think it's important for the 49ers to hedge a little bit. You know, John Lynch, you know, on Monday did talk about the safety market as well and their desire to bring somebody else in. The market has dried up a little bit, so I think they're comfortable with kind of waiting it out and seeing what happens, especially because they have Tashawn Gibson, who, as you mentioned, you know, he can decide to come back as well. I think both sides would be, you know, open to a reunion there. So there's no reason for the 49ers to rush this. I think they even wait till after, you know, the draft to make that decision. Because then you're going to probably get some better value for some of the veteran guys who are still out there. And then I also think the 49ers would be open in bringing in a safety in the draft, you know, just depending on how the draft shakes out. But I think that's something they would like to do. And that's my expectation. I think they draft a safety, you know, maybe mid to late rounds. And I think they also bring in a veteran who's probably going to play on a vet minimum or something like that.
I wouldn't be shocked to see that after the draft either. This is sharing my screen is not working because stupid. There we go. We finally got the ads out of the way. Oh, now there's a new one. The 2025 free agents, just take my word for it. Apparently you're going to have to. secondary, Traverius Ward, Diamador Lenore, Talanoa Hufanga. So, like, the Niners have some major secondary questions after the 2024 season. I think they are trying to prepare for that a little bit, as they should. We'll see how it shakes out. I'd love to see them add a safety. Why not? You can never have too many good players on the team. And if it's not going to cost you that much, which it looks right now like it won't, because there's so many good safeties that are still on the market who we haven't even, like, heard whispers about, basically. It's unbelievable. They're just sitting there waiting to take somebody's money. So we'll see what the 49ers end up doing. Speaking of the draft, Kyle talked about how, quote, miserable it is when you don't have a first round pick, and how happy he is to be back in the first round this year.
I mean, it's miserable as fans, right? You have to just imagine as decision makers and seeing other teams be able to get better via, you know, the first round. Yeah, how that must feel, not being able to do anything. You sort of have your hands tied. It's just a boring day all around, but you still have to be in the draft room in case of anything. You know, like, it's, yeah, I could imagine how much that must suck. And maybe it would make them think about making a deal like that in the future. Like, I don't, you know, speaking about the Trey Lance trade, right? Like, I don't know if they would ever really consider doing something that big, you know, just given how many implications that had, including it being boring, but also, you know, the other factor that they probably won't say out loud to the media, but just how that might affect being able to build your team and being able to find impact guys in the draft, right? A lot of those guys come in the first round and, you know, they kind of weren't able to find that. You know, in the second rounds and beyond these last couple years, at least so far, right? So, yeah, I think it definitely, I think, hurt them in more ways than one, and certainly in more ways than they probably care to admit. But definitely boring. I, as a fan, am really excited, you know, for there to be more first round excitement, even if it's like the second to last pick in the first round.
100%. Yeah. Yes. Please give me something on Thursday night while everyone else in the friggin' NFL world is giddy and looking up YouTube highlights and posting clips. And like, here I am just looking at a picture of Nick Bosa from 2019 with like a tear rolling down my face. Did you see the 49ers draft hat this year?
Yeah.
It's sweet.
It's not bad. It's not bad considering some of the other hats they've trotted out there in recent years, right? So I'm not a huge, like, I don't have strong opinions on the draft hats just because to me it's like kind of stupid anyway. It's like a hat I'm probably never gonna wear if I bought one, right? Or I only wear once. But I'm not a hat aficionado. I say that as I wear a hat, but you know, I usually am showing the hair. But it is better. It is nice. Like, and that just goes to show you don't have to do anything really special. Like, yeah, all they did was add the side patch there and you know, just the black and white with the little drop shadow around it. Like, simple can be good. You don't have to reinvent the wheel with these draft hats. And I think, like, that's, they should probably continue to go along this route in the future. I like the side patch thing. Like, just keep the logo in the front and then just add little wrinkles here and there.
First of all, we all do feel cheated that you're wearing a hat on the program today, Steph.
And her hair.
Let's not make a habit of that. The draft hat, if you haven't seen it and you're not watching the stream, it's all black. The Niners logo is in black and white, and then there's a drop shadow on one side that's gold, and on the bottom there's a drop shadow that's red, and on the side there's a patch with a gold nugget and a red pickaxe with the state of California underneath it, and it says Faithful. I think it's pretty good. I've considered buying that hat. I might do it. Usually the draft hats are awful. They haven't had a good one since Bosa was picked in 2019. This one's pretty good. And it's just nice that we're going to have a first round pick that's going to be able to wear the damn thing. Kyle hinted that they might trade up in the first round. The longer we go and the closer we get to the draft, the more confident I am that they are not staying at 31. One way or another, something is happening.
What was the exact quote? Because I hadn't seen that one yet. What was the exact quote that made you think that?
He just had a quote about, you know, it's nice to have a first round pick. What did he say? He said, will be prepared for everybody this year, because he was talking about how like they actually had to look at some of the top picks because they have a first round pick. But he said, we'll be prepared for everybody this year. You never know whether we stay where we're at or if we move around. But at pick 31, you have to be ready for anything. And this regime has shown they move up when they want somebody.
Well, also, you have to keep in mind, just given the fact of where they are, you know, those last few picks, you know, I feel like maybe there are some teams who maybe have a later second round that maybe would want to move up back into the first round. So, you know, that happens. The 49ers have moved back into the first round, you know, before. So they kind of know how it goes. And so, yeah, of course, they're going to keep their line open and see if any teams are interested. But I think more than likely, they probably make that pick there. If anything, like maybe they move up a couple spots for someone that they really like who they think might not last till 31.
Completely agree with you. And I hope that they do move up, because I think realistically, and I wrote something about this on our website, goldstandardniners.com. I realistically think that it is not like pie in the sky. Like, it's completely reasonable to say they can get two new starters on the offensive line out of this draft, even if they move up in the first round, because I saw a chart the other day, the 10 highest paid centers in the league, Steph. The average draft position for those guys who are the best centers in the league, the average draft position was 3.7. So basically after the third round. So even if the Niners had to use their second round pick in a package to move up in the first round, they could realistically get a very, very good center in the third or fourth round of this draft. And if you come out of this draft with a starting left, starting right tackle, excuse me, and a starting center, it doesn't matter what else the 49ers do. That is a home run for this team.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Do you think someone who can potentially beat out Jake Brendel this season, or someone who can take over Jake Brendel, you know, after his deal is up?
No, plug and play right now. Bye-bye, Jake Brendel. Hit the bench. Colton McKivitz, hit the bench. I know Kyle was singing his praises today. He said, oh, he played awesome. No, he didn't, Kyle. No, he didn't.
See, that's a concerning thing. That's a concerning thing, right? Because you have everyone else who has watched any 49er game, you know, this past season, and has seen that the weak spot is the right side of that line, whether it be Spencer Burford or Colton McKivitz. And you have the head coach, which we have thought for a while now that Kyle doesn't view the offensive line the same way as, you know, fans do, as everyone else does. And it kind of sounds like more of the same. So I don't know if that's just coach speak, but it certainly didn't feel like something that needed to be said. So that's concerning, right? And especially given that this is a draft that they have to take advantage of the fact that it's so offensive line deep, especially for tackles. So I do hope that they look to bring in some more competition. What John Lynch said, I think made it seem like they are open to bringing in some competition. But yeah, Kyle Shanahan's comments didn't really instill a lot of confidence.
No,
we'll see.
He said he's the exact type of guy we want, meaning Colton McKivitz. He's one of the real leaders on our team. He did a hell of a job playing. Like, no, he didn't. But whatever. That's fine. No, if he says that. I don't care about what he says. I care about what they actually do in the draft. That will tell us what they really think of Colton McKivitz and the job that that offensive line did. So if you want to puff up your dude at the breakfast at the league meetings, great, Kyle. No problem. But we all watch the games. They're on television, okay? We see Colton McKivitz. We see where the pressure comes from this offensive line again and again and again. And it ain't the left side. Just, you know, throwing that out there. So hopefully that is a thing that is different after the draft. And I really think that I think that especially now, because like there aren't that many holes on the team. So even if you know, if Kyle feels like necessarily like, hey, you know, normally this isn't the biggest priority for me, it's like, well, you've got a lot of the other things on the list checked off already. So they may just fall into that by sort of circumstance, which whatever the reason, I'm fine with. Just you can't go another draft without taking offensive linemen. They did that last year.
Yeah, exactly. And going back to the center thing, like, I mean, they have a lot of guys who could play center. Now, I don't know if those guys are good enough to compete. Like, they, you know, they'll say every guy who plays the same position is in a competition, right? But is it truly a competition if you know that guy isn't that good? Like, we still have some question marks on some of the guys behind Jake Brendel. I mean, I know John Feliciano could probably play center in a pinch, but he certainly isn't going to be someone who is up for beating out, you know, Brendel in training camp or something like that. Then there's Nick Zakel, who they've been kind of grooming to, I think, to be that guy. But
what are we waiting for? Are we ever going to see this guy?
That's the thing, right? Like, they had high hopes for him, but this is kind of how they do it, at least for the later guys that they've drafted. You know, when I have said that the 49ers don't like to start or prefer not to start offensive linemen, the pushback on that, well, they did it with guys who were drafted high. Your Aaron Banks, your Mike McGlinchey, right? Those are the only two examples. But anyone who they haven't drafted in the first like two rounds, they've been backups, and that's probably because their draft position is reflective of how good they are coming out of college, right? Like they're not ready to start right away. But some of those guys have developed into starters, like Colton McKivitz, for example. So I'm not counting out Nick Zakel yet. He might not be the second coming of Jesus for this offensive line, but he could be someone the 49ers feel could at least compete along with Ben Bartsch, who is, you know, they're hyping up, you know, for some reason. I guess we'll find out in training camp what he's all about. But, you know, yeah, I think we'll just have to wait and see. Like, there's a lot of guys behind Brendel who could potentially be the next guy. And yeah, to your point, Rob, there could be someone who they can draft who can be a guy right away.
If you get good players, they play right away. Like, Kyle is not going to draft somebody, have that guy be really good, but say, well, we're not going to play. Like, if you're good enough, you'll play. And remember, Aaron Banks was inactive a lot of games his rookie year. They didn't just draft him and play him right away. I know if you look up the numbers, it says he played in 9 games, but he was inactive for a long time. He was not like a plug-and-play guy. I want 2 plug-and-play guys out of this draft. And I don't care if in week 1, this rookie right tackle is a little worse than Colton McKivitz in his first game as a professional. I don't care. Play him. Let him develop. That's Kyle's thing, I feel like. Is like he won't do that. And he like delays the development of these guys and just hopes they'll develop behind the scenes, because he doesn't ever want to have a mistake from a rookie in a game. It's like he's terrified of it. But I think you got to have to. You kind of have to. Colton McKivitz ain't it, man. He's a backup tackle. That's what he is. I don't mean to rip on him, but not everybody's an all-pro. And if Colton McKivitz is your backup tackle, your swing tackle, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I think we would welcome that. Yeah. I think, you know, obviously as a starter, he's a liability. As a backup, if he needs to fill in and, you know, finish a game for someone, I'm sure he'd be fine. I mean, he's serviceable for sure. Just not always the greatest service.
Sometimes he forgets your order, or he brings you the wrong drink, or, you know, something like that. All right.
I'm writing a Yelp review.
0 stars. Would not recommend. I want to get to a couple other holes on the team and one pertains to the rules changes that we saw, because kick returner is a role that the 49ers have yet to fill. But Steph, because they changed the kickoff rule, I think now the 49ers don't need to fill it. I think they should have Debo returning kicks, because they changed the kickoff rule. It's like a modified XFL rule where they've got the guys that are like 5 yards apart, and then you've got two returners deep. And to me, the play looks a lot less like a kick return and more like a regular running play where your blockers are really spread out. And if that's the case, put Debo back there, man, and let him go to work, because I think he could be deadly.
Yeah, and I mean, look, because this was just announced, like, obviously, there is a lot to learn, I think, from teams. I mean, they've kind of known that this could be happening for a while, but I don't think teams have really gone into prep mode into all this. Maybe the Chiefs have, I don't know, but I don't think the 49ers have. And, you know, once they get into the weeds of, you know, actually figuring out what it looks like for them or what it will look like for them, then I think they can start having those discussions of who are they going to have back there. I know I mentioned Ronnie Bell as a guy who could compete for that spot. You know, he's going to get a second chance at it, it sounds like.
Unbelievably.
Good for him. Hey, I mean, if you fumble with that, like, that many guys far from you, maybe it'll be okay. He can just recover before they get there. But
I mean, he was bad. Ronnie Bell was bad as a returner. Yeah. And Shanahan said, oh, he proved that he deserves a shot. It's like, what? Based on what? The fact that his fumbles went out of bounds, some of them? Like, no. I want to see Debo on kick returns, man. Do it. Let's go.
I'd be open to seeing Debo, just because from a team standpoint, right? I mean, look, the NFL implemented this for less concussions, less injuries. And so if that was your worry with Debo, having him as the return man for every game, you know, they did dabble with it a bit this past season. But if that was kind of their concern for him being the main guy, well, I think now with this new way of doing it being a little safer for players, then, you know, that definitely opens up the possibility of Debo or even someone else to have that opportunity. Even Kyle Juszczyk, even, you know, Christian McCaffrey, there's like, it really does open up the possibilities of who could be back there. And so, yeah, I'd be open to seeing it. And we know how good Debo is in space. We know how good he is in navigating traffic. And once he gets to open space, he's pretty much gone. I mean, it's pretty much what this new return is going to be. Like, you make a couple guys miss and you're gone, right? Like, it's really just one big row of guys coming at you. If you can get past that one row, like, you're probably good. So yeah, I think it's going to be a lot easier for big explosive returns. And so a guy like Debo would definitely give them that. And then I'll also say, from the team standpoint of, you know, after 2024, they do have an out in his contract. I don't know if they take that out, right? But that definitely alleviates any concern as well, as far as like injury goes. And in this draft coming up, I do expect the 49ers to draft a wide receiver, maybe thinking ahead of life without Debo after 2024, potentially. So what, they don't have much to lose having Debo back there, I think, this season, at least, you know, to consider it.
I completely agree with you. Go for it, especially when he could be so dangerous. And I really think, too, because you said we're in uncharted territory here with the first year of this happening in 2024. Some teams are not going to have an idea of how to defend it. Like, best practices are not going to be created yet, because we all have to go through it in order to figure that stuff out. So I think there's going to be opportunities for teams to run trick plays on returns. There's going to be opportunities where it's like the defense doesn't quite know what to do. So if you just have an explosive dude back there, like, if I were the Dolphins, Tyreek, guess what? Boom, go return kicks. Like, there are going to be chances in this one. I really think that if you look, next year you're going to see multiple guys with multiple kick return touchdowns. I think it's going to be a big deal. And I think the 49ers have one of the best weapons in the league in that scenario. You mentioned Debo, Christian McCaffrey. I would not be opposed to having back there. Even Ayuk is really good in open space. I mean, so many guys on this friggin' team are. It's ridiculous. Jordan Mason, even, I would be curious to see. I think there's a lot of different options there.
Yeah.
And it's scary because the Niners kickoff coverage has not been great in the past. And I always felt like with this team, I always just kick it through the end zone because I didn't feel like the other offense was going to be able to score enough to keep up with the 49ers offense. But if the other team can steal a couple of touchdowns on kick returns, that's a little easier for them to keep up with the 49ers. So it'll be interesting to see how they defend it and all that stuff. But I definitely want Debo on kick returns. I hope they do it. I don't know if they will, but I hope they do.
I'm sure we'll see it, at least in training camp. I mean, we have to.
Benjamin Bear, YouTube channel member, says, how about Juice? You mentioned Juice as well. Good. Give him something to do since he's off the field more than he's on the field. That'd be nice.
Hater.
How about him actually earning some of that money? That'd be good.
Hater.
Get back there, Juice. Go sell some popcorn in the stands while you're at it, too, since you got so much time on the sideline. How about that? The other rules changes that I liked. You used to have two correct challenges to get a third challenge in a game. Now you only need one, which I like. You should get, if as long as you keep getting the calls correct when you challenge them, you should get unlimited challenges. If the refs keep screwing up, that's their problem. I shouldn't be penalized for that. So this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, that's definitely not a bad one. I also saw, and this is more so, I guess, not like a game rule, but just in general, something new that they're implementing. The trade deadline is now going to be after week 9, the Tuesday mm-hmm. after week 9. So that's a week later than what it is currently, right? Or what it was before.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, and that makes sense because you're expanding the season to one more week, you know, where they did this past year. So it makes sense to have the bye week reflect that as well. And I think it gives a chance for teams to stay in contention, you know, just a little bit longer, you know, especially as they navigate through injuries and things like that. It just gives teams a little more flexibility. We've seen how aggressive the 49ers can be at the trade deadline. So I'm personally excited to see it be expanded to another week. And so I think more trades will come for the 49ers if that's the case.
By the way, the 49ers were one of, I think, 6 teams that wanted the trade deadline pushed back. So they advocated for that. The Niners were one of 3 teams that voted against the new kickoff rule, which I thought was interesting, but it still passed nonetheless. A couple other rules changes or different things for 2024. Did you see there's going to be not one but 2 games on Christmas, even though Christmas is on a Wednesday? They're going to do a doubleheader on Christmas, and the teams that are involved in that doubleheader will play the Saturday before. So that's how the league is going to do that.
What week is Christmas played? Like, what week of the NFL season is that? Like, are there no more bye weeks at that point?
Well, last year it was week 16. When the Niners played Baltimore,
yeah. So
was
too
week
late.
16.
Too late. Okay, 2 things here. 1, I hate it for the players, you know, like, and 2, because I'm thinking of the players, and players have suggested this, because they've expanded to now 18 weeks for every team to play, why not 2 bye weeks? You know, like, that's what players want, all right? And this, if you're going to be expanding now games that fall on Wednesday now, like, that's ridiculous. And not just that, but when I saw what the teams that play these games are going to have to go through, like, the previous week they're playing on, I think, is it Saturday or something?
Yes.
Something kind of crazy. That's not even enough time. It's really just one less day than if they were playing Thursday, I guess, or, like, I don't know. Math is hard for me, but not enough days, Rob. It's not enough days. That's all I'm saying. I would have liked if the teams playing on Wednesday on Christmas had a Thursday night game the week prior, that would be a, like an easier pill to swallow. Or if we had the two bye weeks, then they'd have a bye week the week prior or something like that. I don't know. I feel like there's something they could have done to make it easier on the teams participating. But the NFL doesn't care about that. They don't care about that. And like I tweeted this out and I said it on my show yesterday, like the NFL is twisting itself into a pretzel by telling us player safety, player safety, player safety. And they continue to do shit like this and this at the same time. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. We know the only thing that makes sense to the NFL is making money. And it isn't about player safety. At the end of the day, it's just about being able to make more money. Even the rules, the rule changes that we're seeing, like the kickoff rule that is deemed to be about player safety, is really about money at the end of the day, because they want better offense. They want more scoring. And that's why we're seeing all of the rules, all the playing rules impact the defense more so than the offense. They don't care about defensive players getting hurt, it seems like, if you look at it that way. And so more offense is good for the entertainment value, mm-hmm. And the entertainment value is good for their end game, which is getting money. I mean, they're a business at the end of the day, but they have no shame, it's really, I hate it. I hate that about the NFL. And yeah, I'll continue to voice my opinion on it. The players sure will continue to voice their opinion on it. And I just hope that at some point the NFL could at least find some happy medium to be able to make money, because they could. They could find a way to make money, but also compromise with the players to have their best interests as well. But not until we make a few more million.
It's just absurd. Like, they're already making money hand over fist. It's like, how about you just keep doing what you're doing and you'll be just fine and save the players' bodies a little bit. But no, you're right. They do not care at all. The only reason they changed the hitting rules is because of the concussion lawsuit. That's it. That's the only reason. Otherwise, they don't care at all and they never will. Couple other rules changes. I saw that the NFL is going to let the replay assistant fix mistakes on roughing the passer and intentional grounding. So if they call roughing the passer and say, oh, you made contact with the head, they can look at the replay and say, no, you didn't. That's a bad call, which is a step in the right direction. At least we're slowly inching toward a common sense officiating system that we should have had the second they decided to put replay back in the game. But that's a good thing. We're getting there.
This is good for the teams and this is good for the NFL, because what it is going to mean on, game days, a commercial break. So it's going to make some games last a little bit longer, maybe, but that's okay. Cause like me as a fan, I don't care how long it takes to get to the right decision, as long as it is the right decision. Right. So we want the right calls, and this is a step closer to ensuring that the right call is always, implemented for the game. And yeah, I mean, again, for the NFL, I guess it's a win-win, because they'll never turn away an opportunity for an extra commercial break.
That's true. One more thing I want to mention before we go, and I should have mentioned this before when we were talking about Deebo Samuel. I don't know if you saw this. I saw this tweet going around. It's a video of Deebo walking somewhere, and there's a bunch of people around him. Apparently there's some kids and they're asking him for autographs, and he has a phone up to his ear. Now, I don't know if he had a real call, if he was pretending to be on a call, whatever, but the caption of the tweet is 49ers receiver Deebo Samuel shamelessly ignoring kids asking for pictures, autographs. Shame on you at 19 problems. That is such a pathetic loser tweet, man. Athletes do not have to sign anything for anybody at any time. All right. You don't know Debo's life. He could have signed 50 autographs before that video started, or he could sign 500 the next day. It's their choice, and trying to shame somebody because they didn't autograph something, I think is pathetic. I defend any athlete who says, I'm not signing anything. I don't want to sign anything right now. He's just trying to live his damn life.
Yeah, and players, especially ones of the caliber of Deebo Samuel, are used to strangers coming up to them every single place they go and asking for an autograph. And I think to a point where they're able to kind of suss out who's doing it, you know, just to be able to sell it, and who's doing it because they're an actual fan, right? And if you watch this video, it's very clear these kids are grabbing random objects, like literally no 49ers gear or nothing 49ers related that they're holding. I can't even tell what they're holding, binders, like, I don't know, frames. It has nothing to do with Debo, but they want him to sign it so that it'll have value so that they can sell it afterwards. And it is common for parents who have their eBay online shops or wherever the hell, you know, have their kids put them in front and mm-hmm. have them, you know, ask for the autograph to have the player, you know, feel bad or something and have him guilt him basically into signing the autograph. So again, like, I think players are able to kind of suss out what's real and what's like that. And, you know, good for Debo for having, you know, standing up for himself. Because Debo even says, like, you don't even have any, like, Niner stuff. Like, in the video, like, he points that out. Like, you don't even have anything about me. Like, so, yeah, I mean, it's nothing more than that. I think it's ridiculous for people trying to make a big stink about it, because I think Twitter does a good job of, or the majority of people do a good job of knowing as well, like, dude, you're just a parent who's trying to use their kid to get the autograph. Like, you thought you did something. You didn't.
It infuriates me. Even if he doesn't have to sign if they have 49er stuff, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah.
He probably signs a billion autographs during the regular season. And maybe he's like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to get from my car to my wherever I'm going, or vice versa. Like, I totally don't like that. And, you know, somebody tweeted me, well, Debo never signs anything. And my response was, I literally have an autographed Debo Samuel helmet in my house. So clearly he signs stuff. I just, yeah, the whole thing bugged me. Because I bang on 49ers players for a lot of stuff during the year. I think it's justified. But I don't bang on them as people. And I just feel like this is going after Debo as a person, not as a player. And he's totally within his rights not to sign anything. So I just wanted to say that, to speak on that, because it bugs me. And you're right. I didn't even think about the whole, like, industry. And I'm someone that collects autographs. I have an autograph collection. I love them. I don't sell them. I keep them. But it's a huge industry for sure. And I'm 1,000% agree that they are throwing their kids out there, using their kids as props, essentially, to try and get this autograph.
Yep. It's insane. Some people have no shame.
No shame. All right, Steph. I think that just about covers everything with the 49ers right now. Want to remind everybody really quick before we go to our website, goldstandardniners.com. Right now, you can vote in the 49ers Media Madness Tournament. It is in the Sweet 16 round as we speak. Steph, Jason.
I got eliminated, Rob.
I know. You got eliminated. Levin got eliminated in the first round. Jason took out Michelle. So that was a little gold standard on gold standard crime right there. Was you know, a little sad about that, because it'd be nice if a gold standard person could win this damn thing. But it's been a big success, and I'm sorry that you got eliminated.
Yeah, I had a tough draw. I went out honorably going up against Matt Barrows. So
that's tough.
I think it went down exactly how I expected. I think it's fair. I voted for Matt, of course.
What? You didn't vote for yourself?
No.
I voted for myself every round. Are you serious? Of course I did. I don't care who I'm up against. I could be up against my wife. I'm still voting for me. Are you serious?
You're
how
funny.
Could you not vote for yourself?
Because I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it as someone who is a consumer of all the other, like, all the other content. And so I'm voting based on what I like to consume. And I would choose Matt Barrow's content above mine. Like, I'm not delusional.
I would choose my content over anybody's. I'm voting for me every single time. Why do you think I started this damn tournament? I want to win it, baby.
You
want to
go
it.
All the way.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but then people are going to be like, rigged.
Right.
How's Rob going to win his own tournament?
I'm up against Larry Kruger right now. We are actually tied. I just looked at the results. Oh, wow. It's 406 to 406. So please go and vote for me. See, if I vote for Larry, then he's up one. What if he wins by one vote and I don't vote for me? No, hell no. I'm voting for me.
Look, okay, if I got that far into it, you know, maybe I would vote for myself. But, I didn't even make the Sweet 16, Rob. So it's okay.
I am sorry for that. But don't worry, even if I did somehow happen to beat Larry, I'm going up against the winner of Matt Barrows and Mike Silver. So that is the end of my hopes for the 49ers Media Madness
tournament.
Getting
tough out there.
Yeah, Eric Crocker is also still steamrolling everyone in his path.
He won last season, right?
Yep.
Last year. Yep.
Now I might have to send him another trophy. I already sent him one trophy. He's going to have a nice little collection. But please go and vote again. You can go to the website, goldstandardniners.com. If you click on anybody, you're like, oh, I don't know who this person is. It'll take you right to their Twitter page. You can see who they work for. You can read their work, what they do, how they cover the 49ers. That is the point of this thing. I joke about the voting, but the point is just to see what is out there, because this is an awesome community we have here that covers the 49ers. So please go and check that out. Steph, are you doing a show tonight? What do you got going on the rest of the day?
No, not tonight. This is my only show of the day for Tuesdays. And then tomorrow I'm back at it with Desi. That is at 2 p.m. Pacific. So make sure you guys tune in 49 Carats, wherever you get, 49 Carats, if you're an audio listener, wherever you get your podcast.
Golden Dragon 5 says, LOL, Rob, you voted for yourself like 10 times a week. You can't vote for yourself 10 times, but I voted for myself the maximum amount of times. Hell
yeah.
Yeah,
is there like
a
cap of votes you can do?
So I think it goes by your IP address. So like technically, if you wanted to be sneaky and like do incognito for another vote, or like use a different device, like I think you could manipulate it that way.
We know you probably did that. That's why you know all the
corners. Confirm nor deny, but look, the vote, every vote counts. That's all I'm saying. I'm tied right now. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to take down Larry Kruger and that loyal audience.
I'll vote for you.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace.